So welcome everybody to Nerds on the Rocks 161. This week we have our usual panel of hosts, I guess. This week I'm hosting it. This is Dan speaking, if it wasn't obvious. Earl is still here, but we'll let him introduce himself now.
Howdy. What's up?
Then we also have Justin.
Hey.
And Sam.
Woo!
Woo.
Bring me some energy. Energy!
Just in case any of us wanted to have our hair returned.
Yeah. Right. My goal is to spike the mic early on, so you can just look at that spike and be like, okay, this cut all of this out. We now know what audio to not have in the final show. All of Sam's track.
It's a good strategy. I'm personally a little bit of a fan. So this week, I'm hosting. This is Dan again, in case that wasn't obvious from before. Just want to, you know, preface everything. Yeah. So I'll probably mention it just once more time. This is Dan. I'm hosting this week. The topic this week that we're talking about is going to be Legos. With the release of the Lego movie last week, just about a week of the time of recording, we're going to talk about Legos. So everybody from our podcast here has seen the Lego movie, but we're talking sort of about a topic that was touched upon in the movie, but we're not going to, like, talk about the movie itself. So this is a spoiler.
Darth Vader is Luke's father. Zone.
Yeah, that was touched up in the movie. Sorry, everybody.
Yep, just for you guys.
Legos, I mean, they're a thing that we're all familiar with. They've been around for over 80 years now, so everyone's
familiar
with them.
I grew up with Mega Bloks. I don't know what these Legos are.
Ouch, we're going to have some bad blood this podcast.
I don't know anybody that grew up with Mega Bloks.
I hope
Maybe
nobody
very
did.
Sad children.
It's like
sad
people who grew up with Cheez Nips instead of Cheez-Its. Just why?
I thought that was a regional thing. I never realized. Is it not a regional thing?
I don't think so.
Okay. Oh, well.
At least not on the East Coast.
Yeah, we had Cheez-Its, so I guess fair.
You're good then. So anyway.
There's a big war about Cheez-Its and Cheez Nips, but okay.
Right.
There is
I
on
prefer
my Twitter,
Cheez-Its, but.
On my Twitter timeline, there is every few days, and it's kind of like, why is this happening?
Oh, mine's just bone-in versus boneless wings. That's just always the argument I see on my Twitter.
There's obviously boneless.
Yeah, I kind of agree.
I don't know if anybody who disagrees there would.
Fools do, apparently.
Apparently enough to make an argument about it, yeah.
So, getting back onto Legos, I guess. Legos are sort of like, a timeless thing. I'm probably going to have a little bit of bias because I work at a Lego store and I love Legos, and I always have. And so, that's sort of why I'm introducing this topic to
Working in a Lego store, so you have a little bit of bias. Just a small amount.
Your journalistic integrity is now being called into question.
Uh-oh. Yeah. I don't know if I can trust your review of these Lego sets.
Give me the can. All right.
I feel like we need to
silence
update
the rest
the score.
Of the podcast. It's up to you guys now.
All right. Well, so we do need to go over what Lego sets you owned as a child, then, or now. I say as a child, it owned. Let's be clear. I'm not discriminating about who can own Lego sets.
Yeah, so actually that's exactly pretty much what I think we wanted to talk about this week, was sort of Lego has been around for everybody for so many years, and we all know it as like the sort of building blocks with little pegs on the top, and on the bottom they kind of snap into place. But they mean different things for different people, and like a lot of other things, actually. I think Pokemon's a pretty good example of something that means different things to different people who are fans of it. You can collect...
And who aren't fans of it.
Yeah, like, you can collect Pokemon, you can battle the Pokemon, you can do, like, all sorts of stuff. And I think Legos has that element also. You can collect... You can build it by the set's instructions. You can build it by your own instructions.
So right out of the gate, Mr. Lego store employee, is it Legos or Lego?
So funny story. Not actually that funny, but Lego. It's Lego, and then plural is Lego set.
Okay.
So really? Lego set.
Actually, I knew that. I just wanted you to clarify it.
Yeah.
Because I get PR releases from Traveler's Tale all the time that always use Lego in singular, and they've gotten mad at people for using Lego as plural in articles before, which I just find hilarious.
We have some employees who are pretty avid about that, but more joking than not.
All right, good.
I guess I'll start with sort of what Legos to me are. Right now, I still buy and play with and have tons of Legos and stuff, and to me, they... There are a variety of different things.
Someone's
a lot of
right onto the microphone.
What?
Sorry.
All right.
Way to steal my thunder, Justin. So Legos, for me, I've been a fan of them as a kid. I was a huge fan of the Bionicle line, which we no longer have, which is now Hero Factory, which is lost a lot of its soul. But anyway, Legos are still awesome. And Legos, to me, have always been something to build and play with, and then once I'm done with playing with whatever the instructions have me built, I rebuild again with something else. But I always keep the instructions somewhere else so that I can go back to it. So I have, right now, since I don't have a lot of free time, I just build it by the instructions, kind of model them and display them in really cool and unique ways, and then sometimes I deconstruct them and make bigger stuff. But mostly it's just building for the instructions and then keep the cool pieces. So that's what Lego, at least to me, sort of is, but there's also some collecting aspect that I admire about them. So I don't know if anyone else wants to share their experience now or in the past with Legos.
I
was going to say I wanted him to finish his story, but I guess real quick, since I am the ancient one in this show, I really just kind of connected Legos to kind of mess around with them. I don't think I've ever really, you know, you build something, you kind of mess around with it for a bit, and then you just kind of destroy it and throw it back into the bucket. Like, I've never actually done any of the Lego sets or any of the instructions. It's always kind of been a free-form toy for me. And they were a part of my childhood, but they weren't a huge part. I was really, I guess, more into, like, action figures. I mean, I kind of grew up during the boom of, like, Ninja Turtles and Power Rangers, so that was kind of my childhood with superheroes and comic books, which is a good thing I grew out of. I guess we'll get to the Seda. I guess the part that I go plays in my life now is just the video games. I'm a huge fan of that series, and apparently since they turn out, like, 15 of them a year, you never really are missing any, and they have fantastic licenses behind them.
It's very true. All of them have really consistently been really solid games. So anyone else want to share? I guess unless you were not done with your story, Earl.
I am done for now.
My computer's being weird, but hopefully I'm still here. Hello?
Yeah, she's still here.
Okay, cool. Legos were a fairly big part of my childhood as well. I would, when I was about, you know, this went on later than probably most people would care to admit. I was probably like in middle school by the time I stopped doing this, but my friends and I would, I say my friends, and I'm very bad at stories. One of my friends had got Lego sets a lot. Every, like, birthday, every occasion. He had the Millennium Falcon. He had the Statue of Liberty. He had all those fun things. So we'd all go over to his house, and he had all of it in just a giant bucket. And we'd play what we called the Lego game, which we didn't realize it at the time, but it's basically Civilization. Like, we'd each build a base, and we'd have, like, stores, and we'd have towns, and we'd build soldiers, and we'd go trade with the other towns and other soldiers and have fights and standoffs. And it was, the rules were never very strict. We were kids. It's not like you could only move three spaces a turn. It was more like use the power of imagination and what beats what, and who was the least favorite person in the group today, which was usually me, but that's irrelevant. And we'd use any sort of clear bricks as currency. So, like, the gem bricks from the Lego Mars set were worth the most, I think. Followed by, it was all Star Wars themed too, by the way. So, like, everybody had lightsabers or blasters, or, and we called our buildings cantinas. It was a fun time. That would be about every weekend or every other weekend from the ages of like 10 to 12 in my life. That followed by Halo, and then we discovered Halo, and so we stopped playing the Lego game. But
that sounds awesome. That sounds like a ton of fun. I wish I had
fantastic.
Enough friends to do that with. I only had
it was just three
friend.
Of us, to be fair.
Well, I mean, like, I only had one real friend who played Legos with me. Now I have tons more because all my friends from the Lego store are so... It's funny how that happens, I guess. You turn 21 and all of a sudden you have more friends to play with Legos with.
Yeah.
But,
that's not too surprising. I mean, that was kind of when I got into Nerf guns with college as well, because everybody wanted one, because you kind of have this phase where you kind of get nostalgic for your childhood and you kind of go back to that stuff and you have a bunch of... Well, I mean, it's
a, nobody in this podcast had a phase, Earl.
when you get to be my age, you'll understand. Justin?
Like Dan, I grew up mainly with Bionicles. Like, that was the first instance of Legos that I ever had, and those things were amazing. I wasn't in it specifically to, like, build stuff. I always built them how they were supposed to. I was just more in it for the story and the lore, because I thought it was really interesting as a kid. It's like, oh, yeah, these beings of elemental power and all this stuff, like the Toa, That was really, and I got into the movies, the comics, not the video games, because those were actually kind of crap.
Yeah, it was before Lego games were consistently good.
Yeah, and I was really sad to see it go when it became
Hero Factory.
What are you
talking about? Lego Island was amazing.
Okay, well, yeah, that's true. Some of them were pretty good. Lego Racers was pretty fun. I still
Lego
have
Island
that one.
Was trash. Looking back on it,
the only,
I played that a lot.
The only ones that I played, like were the Bionicle games, and they were all on. Or I played the ones that were on the Game Boy Advance.
I remember
so,
one on GBA.
Yeah,
it was
The first one that they did was okay, but then the second one was not as good. It was actually kind of annoying, especially because they had like passwords as save points. Do you guys remember that?
Yeah.
Nope. It was based on the first movie when they had like the seventh toe and stuff like that.
Based on the movie? I remember one based on like the sort of first generation of the Toa and whatnot. It had a...
Yeah.
The black
then,
Buddha mask was like the box art for it.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, I remember that one. And then I remember a Bionicle game for the GameCube I owned also. I don't know if you
had
the same thing.
I think it was Bionicle Heroes. I didn't play that one. I played the one that was exclusively for the Game Boy and then the one with the black Makuta cover.
Interesting. So we probably could have been best friends in another life.
Yes.
Because apparently we're not best friends now.
Well, okay.
That was sad.
I mean,
we're good friends. I mean, let's keep this casual. I'm not looking to get any committed relationship right now. I'm sorry. It's not you. It's me.
But, yeah, so I guess, I don't know, I didn't want to interrupt your story. I was hoping I wasn't hoping that was the end, but it was the conversation I was...
Yeah,
right, I'm assuming
yeah, that's basically it.
So, yeah, like, I guess Justin and I have what seems like a similar background. It's just pretty cool. Like, Bionicles are different than Legos. They're using a lot of, the Technic pieces, I guess, more or less. Like, the ball and joint, a lot of, like, the pegs and axles and whatnot are the components of them. And so, like, now they have this thing called Hero Factory, which is kind of cool in theory. Like, I remember seeing the ads for it when it first came out and was like, oh, they're getting rid of Bionicle, but this new Hero Factory looks okay. And it's about, like, a bunch of heroes who are fighting off these, like, alien things and whatnot. And, like, you can make the heroes and they take the place of, like, the Bionicles. But it's just lost a lot of its soul. And, like Justin said, there's a lot of cool story to the Bionicle. And I think it's lost a lot of that for the sake of...
I think the problem with Hero Factory is that it's set in the, like, from what I remember, it was set in the present day, whereas in Bionicle, it was set in, like, this sort of fantasy world where anything could happen.
Yeah.
I feel like once you restrict yourself to, like, the present day, you've kind of, you have a lot less to work with as far as, like, story material, unless you start making your own stuff up.
Right, and I think also they had a little bit looser guidelines for it, too. Like, Bionicle always came out in sixes. That was their thing, was they always had the red, the white, the green, the blue,
the brown,
the black. And
right.
So there were always six heroes to anticipate. And, like, whenever they had the villains, they had six of them to counteract.
To counterbalance.
Like, Hero Factory doesn't do that. I don't know. Like, a new Hero Factory line just came out this week. I know because I was at the store and they released some. And they're going back to sort of their, I'd say their roots, but, like, just kind of going back to the old style Hero Factory, more or less. But, like, it just seems like every time they release Hero Factory stuff, it's like, this guy is just the thing. There's no real rhyme or reason to why they're there. There are some fairly cool sets. Like, there's one right now that's a dragon. He's looks pretty cool, honestly. I'm not into Hero Factory right now. I'll set the store. We kind of hate Hero Factory, so I'm gonna rep my store booths right now and say.
Guessing you're not a fan of the show either.
No, but the games online.
If that's still going on.
I know there's a Lego Chima show still going on, and the Ninjago show's picking up, too.
Yeah, I've watched those. Well, I watched the Ninjago one for a bit.
Did you guys ever see the full force of the Ninjago, like, when it first came out a few years ago? Because it was insane. That was before I was working at the store, but I was still around it because my younger brother, my stepbrother, was old enough to, like, be into it, and it was, like, basically, like, Pokemon for the modern age, I guess, as far as on the playgrounds go. Like, everyone had these Ninjago spinners, and they were all, like, doing...
For a while, I thought that they were, like, returning... That was, like, Lego Beyblade for some reason.
Yeah, well, they kind of were, because Ninjago's thing was... Ninjago is a series of, like, ninjas versus these, like, somewhat, I guess, mythical, more or less, beasts. Like, there's dragons and there's, like, other bad ninjas and whatnot, like, four-armed creatures and, like, right. skeleton guys. And one of the hooks for them was they had these Ninjago spinners, which were, like, I think $8 at the time. So it was, like, the best bang for your buck as far as getting the minifigures goes, which to some people is, like, a huge deal. I know tons of people are hugely into collecting just the minifigs. So it was, like, a great cash grab. But they also came with these tops that were basically like Beyblades. And they were, like, a super huge craze on the playgrounds, apparently, according to, like, my dad, from what he said. And then they got a bunch of recalls because a bunch of people complained about it. It was, like, a hazard and whatnot, so they got rid of them. So they no longer have those. But they kind of do that thing with Chima, which is, like, their successor to Ninjago, which is about, like, Chimera beasts and whatnot, and they have these, like, Speedors, which are, like, racers for them, and they're kind of trying to catch on, but not really.
I'll be honest, when I first saw the promo for Chima, I thought it was Lego Thundercats.
I can definitely see that. Chima's got, like, these... Chima's actually kind of deep when you get into it, but, like,
really?
not deep, but, like, kind of dark, I guess, more or less, is it's got two warring sides. It's got, like, the lions are the good guys, and, like, the bad guys are the crocodiles, and those are, like, the main two forces.
This sounds slightly familiar.
And, like, alongside the lions, there are also the eagles, which are good, and then they also have the gorillas, which were introduced last summer, and then on the bad side with the crocodiles, they have the wolves, and, like, the ravens are sort of neither side, but they're kind of tricksy, so they go for the evil side, more or less. And, like, you've got these, basically the two sides are competing for, like, total world domination, more or less. And it's like, whoa, guys, this is a little heavy.
Let's calm down now.
But, like, I don't know, it is what it is. It's pretty cool. I personally think some of the Chima sets are really cool looking and whatnot, because they're all based on, like, beasts and whatnot. And it's kind of, like, a cool theme. I think they're trying to obviously appeal to, like, 12-ish year-olds who like that sort of stuff. But, again, a lot of my friends who are employees don't like Chima stuff. And I'm sorry to them that I do like them, because they got mad at me the other day when new Chima stuff came out. And I was like, cool! And they're like, what's wrong with you?
There are a hipster audience for Lego toys? Or is this
There's
a
what?
Hipster audience? People who get upset at certain... never mind, but...
yeah, people get really upset if something is what...
Not for
if
them.
If something exists.
Yeah.
I think a part of it for us, too, is the packaging. I don't know if anyone has a Lego store nearby. I'm going to kind of talk about that a lot, I guess, this podcast. But,
I've never heard of a... Like, Lego store is not a thing I knew existed until you brought it up.
Well, they do, and I can prove they do, because I am there.
I believe it.
One, as we figured out today.
Yeah.
Unless you work in some kind of, like, hypothetical, mythical place, or you have some mental issues that we don't know about.
In fact,
yeah, guys, I promise I work at the Lego store.
They have everything.
No one tell him.
In Massachusetts, there's actually four of them, so I don't know what you're missing out on, but we got plenty.
Yeah, I know we have one in Times Square. I've been to that one.
We've got one in the Oak Park Mall. I think it's where it's at.
Yeah, they're all over, and they're actually just opening the first few. Sorry.
I think that one's been there for a few years.
I think, are we looking them up now? I know off the top of my head, there's four in Massachusetts, and they were talking about one in New Hampshire. We're, like, the farthest north one, so that's why they were talking about it. But, like, there's two opening up in Quebec this year, which are the first ones in Quebec. There's three, actually, in Ontario. There's a lot of them on the East Coast, so I guess that's why Sam hasn't really heard of them.
Yeah.
More or less. They're mostly on the East Coast.
Okay.
But they're cool places, and I don't know. I'm a huge fan of this stuff, so obviously they have a massive market, so yeah, they're getting spread out. Yes.
Like, how is business there? Like, is it a place that people frequent? Because it seems like it's something that a collector would do, but it doesn't seem like something people would do every day. I guess I'm not in the Lego scene.
Yeah, so I guess to a point, you're right. We sometimes, like, we do have regular customers, and some of the regulars are collectors, and some of the regulars are, like, families with kids and whatnot. So, like, they've got a bunch of different demographics, but like for the most part, it's a lot of like you see these people once and then you might never see them again, or you might see them like a few months from now and not recognize them or whatever. It's like a lot of pop in, pop out business. At my particular store, we just celebrated our 10-year anniversary at our mall, so like we've been there a while, so we're really established and whatnot. And because of that, and because we're the farthest north store, and we're like closest to New Hampshire and Maine and Vermont, like we get a lot of that traffic and whatnot. So we have like a huge volume store, and like, so I guess my story might be a little different than other Lego stores, but we're fairly busy most days of the week, honestly, even like weekdays during the school year.
Huh. Wow.
I guess as a follow-up, have you ever been to Lego End?
I've been to the one in Florida.
I think that's the only one that I know of. I guess there's another one.
Isn't there one in California?
Yeah.
Those seem to be the two places you build a theme park at.
And then there's one in Denmark also. I've never been to Denmark, or out of... Never been off of America, so...
Wasn't Lego, like, created in Denmark, or conceived in Denmark?
Billund, Denmark is where the HQ is for the overall Lego.
Right.
And they have some cool exclusive sets if you ever go visit them and stuff like that. Actually, our employee gift for 2012, because we always get employee gifts during Christmas season, our employee gift was a model of the original Lego creator's house, which is awesome.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's super detailed, really nice, and like, I don't know, they're just awesome to their employees giving us employee gifts. Yeah.
Now, so, is it already built, or do you have to make it yourself?
No, it's like a Lego set you would buy in the store.
Okay.
And it comes with like a cool pamphlet and whatnot.
Do you folks build any sets, or do you just sell them? Like, can somebody pay you to build a set for them if they don't want to?
No, which is kind of an interesting concept that we sometimes get questions about, but not really. Sometimes people like come to us and they're like, yeah, I love Legos. I just wish they were already built for me. And I guess that kind of segues into the main topic of this discussion, which is like, what is Lego for everybody? Lego is a bunch of stuff. Like, my dad buys Legos probably almost as much as me, if not more than I do. And he buys a lot of the big sets to display in his room and whatnot. And he builds them and then just builds them to the instructions and then displays them in his room. And that's it. He won't rebuild them or whatever. He'll keep the instructions just in case. But, he has no desire or creative intent to, like, go back and rebuild. So that's his sort of thing. My thing is a little different. I like building them to the instructions, but then afterwards I like to play with them and, like, build them to whatever I think is cool. Like, there's a Marvel set that's based off of the Malibu Mansion from Iron Man, and I'm working right now on building, like, a more accurate Hall of Armors for him. So, like, my sort of thing is building, but, like, outside of the realm of the instructions. And, like, again, some people come to our store and they're like, I love Legos, but I hate building them. Build them for me or something like that, which we don't do at the store, FYI, so don't come ask us. And then some people are like collectors. Some people collect entire sets. Some people collect just the minifigs, which both of them have their own merit, but like they can go for tons of money. There's so many different aspects to Lego, I guess. It's an interesting thing to see that you have different demographics and then different sort of reasons to buy them within those demographics. I don't know if you guys are familiar with any of like any people who are like that, I guess, in your life.
Well, I mean, a lot of people, I guess, again, kind of get it. I guess depending on your time, a lot of people I know are just collectors. It's something you kind of build and you showcase, and they kind of get sets on things they're interested in. Like you mentioned, the Marvel one. That you know, like I know they just announced the Simpson ones, which a lot of people are excited for.
It actually just came out, so.
Perry, again, I don't keep up with the Lego. I don't want the Lego Mafia after me for misspeaking on this episode.
That'll be me. I take point on that one.
Yeah, you started talking about Hero, whatever, and Bionicle. I feel like got a little into Bionicle, but whatever thing you said after that, I just sort of never heard of.
I've been trying to do okay at educating people as I go, so sorry for talking so much this podcast.
You guys remember the Lego Knights?
I've seen a box of it before.
They kind of came out like around Bionicle time. It was like a dude with like the shield of an eagle, the snake, the lion. I think it was like a hawk or something.
I heard of them. I never bought one.
I'll try and look for it later and show it to you.
Right now we have a Lego castle series. It's like the current one right now. It's based on like the castle series from like the 80s, I believe. So that's like the current sort of knight medieval series. But there was also one called Castle and one called Kingdoms from a few years ago. There's like a bunch of popular themes like that, or like spies, or like Lego City that they constantly do. And they constantly keep them updated, because those are like Lego, they're not franchised like Marvel would be, or like Ninja Turtles or Lone Ranger.
So they don't have to pay a premium on that.
Right.
Is there a Lego Lone Ranger?
There was.
There was. The movie didn't do well enough for the set. So.
All right.
You know what's funny, though, is the sets did awesome, because they were the current, like, the only current Western theme that we had. So everyone was like, oh, Western Legos, cool. But, like, the movie flopped and the Legos...
You say everybody. How many people are just buying Legos all the time?
Well, I mean, apparently not...
Like, adults. How many adults to kids do you see in your store?
Well, I guess... That's an interesting thing, too, because you got to take into account that people come in without their kids or whatnot.
That's true.
So, like, take that into account, and people who, the kids maybe come
in. But you know, if you see somebody walking into the store, you know whether or not they're buying Legos for themselves or for a kid.
Yeah, for sure. Some people you can tell. It's a pretty hard ratio to nail down, I think, but there's definitely a lot of both. Probably more for the kids, because I'm just assuming, again, people who come in without their kids or, like, stuff like that. Or buying for a kid, but they don't express that or whatnot. Probably more buying for the kids, but there's a lot of people who still buy it for themselves. Most of those people tend to be kind of like 20s, 30s, who just kind of come in and they see something that really interests them, like maybe a more mature set, and they're like, whoa, this is cool. I'm going to buy just this one thing for me.
Gotcha. Because I'd imagine that most adults in the Legos would just buy them online anyway, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like, that's how I do most of my shopping. If I see something cool in a store, I immediately look it up on my phone on Amazon and don't really...
I
the store is asking for.
I would feel with toys, I would buy them in store just because they're kind of right there. It's weird when you have to think about them, I guess, because it's like it's an easier impulse buy for me than it is like, okay, I have extra money, but should I really be buying figures that I'm not going to play with?
Yeah. Super Monkey Ball 2 sitting in my Amazon cart, but I entered the wrong credit card number, so my gut transaction didn't go through. Am I like off the top of my head not even thinking about it? And now that I have to think about it, I'm probably going to go delete it, because what am I going to do with Super Monkey Ball 2 other than play it once for 2 minutes?
If it's taunting you?
Yeah, like, a little bit, yeah.
You could have had me. That fool.
It would have been here by now, too, is the worst part.
Yeah, this is what I'm thinking about, that phase where people were getting nostalgic, because I assume Super Monkey Ball 2 would have been, what, 2002? So about when you were...
Yep.
Like, yeah, around, what, 10 or so?
Probably like 12-ish.
I'm not calculating. Yeah, something like 9.
Yeah, so yeah, it's that phase. It's the same reason why I got bored in college one day and bought a Super Nintendo and NES. I don't use them for anything, but it's like, oh man, remember those awesome games? And you get it like, oh, I have all these new games I haven't played yet. So why did I buy this? And I feel it would be the same thing with Legos. Like I said before, my biggest thing with Legos, and I guess we can kind of talk about it, is the video games. I think that's kind of, they've developed a very fun aesthetic and kind of sense of humor to the games that are really something you don't get in a lot of video games.
That's true, and I think what's cool about the Lego games is they capture the spirit and like essence of the products themselves so well that like without... Like, the exception being a building, because obviously, like, you can't have a robust building simulator and be a solid game on top of that.
But you could if you...
Kind of unreasonable. Yeah, but, like, just for given whatever time constraints or, like, size-wise, it's just a little unreasonable to say to, like, pump them out at least at the level LEGO does. But, like, they do a good job of representing everything in LEGO form. So, like, the recent LEGO Marvel Superheroes game came out, well, I guess October of last year. There's a ton of LEGO superheroes that are not in LEGO form right now, and probably never will be, just because they're so like niche and small and whatnot, and probably a little bit of like the maturity as well. But like that's a...
By the way, Super Monkey Ball came out in 2002, so well done. Sorry to just completely cut you off for that.
Oh, no, it was worth it. Don't worry. But, yeah, like, I think LEGO does a great job of capturing, in the games at least, capturing that sort of feel and aesthetic really well. And I think they're definitely is, like you were saying, are like a target for that almost, because like there's people who maybe don't like building them but love Legos themselves or love what they like look like, what they do with them. So I think that's a big part of it too, probably in the demographics. Like maybe people who don't like building them but love Legos just buy the games, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the Lego games do really – oh, sorry.
No, I was going to say they do really well. I know, like, Lego Batman, I believe, is, like, the best-selling, and that thing crossed, like, 10 million units, which I was surprised to sell by that it did that well. Just a real quick question. Do the Lego people have a name, or is it just Lego people?
What do you mean? Like, the actual Lego
I believe like they're Simpsons.
Did you believe this?
They're called minifigs. Some of them have specific names.
Yeah, I think I knew that. I've heard that term before.
I've seen that.
Minifigures are like the characters. Just minifigs is like shortened to them, and like they have their own thing too. Like there's series minifigs that you can get in like grab bag style, which is like a big collector's bait because you get like a series of 16 different minifigs, and then everyone has to go out and buy them, and so you buy them in their blind bags. It gets surprisingly intense and like kind of like that niche collector sort of style thing where, like, I don't know, like borderline into like comics and that sort of realm of things, the way they do things.
So how much does just a normal Lego Boba Fett figure cost, and can I buy one somewhere? Do I have to buy a set with him in it?
You have to buy a set with him in it because for the licensed figures, they can't sell them individually.
But I see them, but are they like the giant version of the figures? Because I've seen like larger keychain versions of figures, but
yes,
never the actual
ones. You can buy a keychain, or you can buy for.
But that's bullshit. I don't want a keychain.
Right, exactly. Some people have an issue with that. So you can buy keychains or magnets of the more popular ones, especially for Star Wars. Like there's magnets of Iron Man and Spider-Man for Marvel. And there's like one for like Luke, Leia, Darth Vader, Han, Chewie, and them for Star Wars.
Gotcha.
So you could buy keychains, magnets. Those are the only ways to get them to the size of the minifigs. Then the bigger ones become like clocks or lights or whatever.
Yeah. All right. There.
I feel like I'm back working at the store. I better be getting paid for this.
Right. The Lego Star Wars set.
This podcast brought to you by.
All the questions that I ask and get asked.
Maybe you can answer this too. What makes Lego so damn expensive?
Nostalgia.
Sure. Let's go with that because I can't really answer that for you.
Okay.
They're usually priced by
the. It's always. The price on the object seems higher than in my head the price would be.
Yeah.
But I never paid for them as a kid.
I remember the big Bionicle, I think it was the super big ones, like, where it's kind of like a Megazord, basically. Those ran upwards like $75.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember there was one.
That ship cost $140.
Yeah. There's a lot of bigger ones. Like, right now there's a Millennium Falcon that's $140. That's fairly big.
I have one of those that my brother stole from his school, which is fantastic.
What?
So what happened is my brother went to a private school, and they had this guy build them, like, they had a, like, Lego builder guy come and give them a demonstration of, I think they were in some kind of architecture thing, and so they all got to build Legos in class, and then as a demonstration, they built a Lego Millennium Falcon, and they put it up on a little display case. Well, my brother, on the last day of school in his senior year, like, looked around the school, saw that Millennium Falcon, and he thought, if I don't take this, somebody else is going to. So just grabbed it and shoved it in his backpack and then went home, and then gave it to me at the end of the year because he thought I'd like it a lot more than him. So he won Brother of the Year for that one, or Brother of the Year for that one.
Did they ever find out?
I don't know. He never went back to school, so.
Did your parents ever find out that he stole it?
No, they don't know what it is.
Well, now they're going to find out. Look who we've got here. Your parents. Aren't you guest hosts?
Now I've got a Lego Millennium Falcon in my room that I didn't pay for, and it is fantastic.
It's kind of like a Christmas present. Very spring-time Christmas present.
I was ecstatic that day. I'd always kind of wanted one of those, but never wanted to pay $140 for it.
Do you like the Nintendo? Really like that kid who got a SNES for his birthday. Yeah. He was just like, "Oh my god!"
Basically.
I forget what we were talking about before.
I don't know. That was my why they're so expensive is what we were talking about.
Oh, yeah. So they're usually priced by the piece. And some people, it's funny, like, if you're into Legos, like myself or us at the store, we're kind of, like, okay with the price points for the most part because we just expect those, and they're really not that bad. But then to the unknown eye, they're like, what? This set's $50? Well, yeah, because this and that and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
There's a variety of factors.
Clearly, there are a bunch of rednecks in Massachusetts asking about the prices of Lego sets, by the way.
Yep, believe it or not, we have rednecks in Massachusetts.
Oh. Legos are how much?
Yeah, that's basically what you sounded like.
Yeah, you nailed the accent.
Lego Back to the Future? I didn't know that was a thing.
Lego Ghostbusters seems to be a thing, too. Just one
Lego thing. DeLorean? Okay, I need this now.
No way. There's not a Lego Back to the Future, is there?
It's
there
right is. Here. I'm looking at it on Amazon.
Dude, where was I when that happened?
So what is everybody's favorite Lego sets that you've owned in your lifetime? I don't know if we've answered that one.
Yeah, let's go through that, too, because that is definitely a big thing. I guess sets or themes, because there's a variety of like franchised and not franchised.
Yeah. I mean, mine was Star Wars, but I guess
God dang it!
Oh! Mine was Star Wars, but I guess I'll have to think of one from before Star Wars so someone else can go.
You don't have to. Star Wars is current still.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
actually, I had a... wait, maybe it was just an action figure. The Snowspeeders?
Yeah, there's been Snowspeeders.
Is that a Lego?
There have been. I don't remember when the last one was, but...
I think I had one of those growing up, and it was either that or an action figure, so I could be completely wrong. I remember liking those. That was my favorite Star Wars vehicle, so I think it was my favorite Lego set as well. Yeah, we had boxes, and, you know, everybody's parents gets pissed because you leave them on the ground and they step on them. And
yep.
It's first.
Oh, God, that's hell.
Yeah, but it was always the Star Wars stuff is my favorite. I was into the Star Wars movies even before this. Well, did I say before the sequels? I think before the sequels came out, or at least before I saw the prequels. Whatever.
No, I thought they came out after the prequels.
The Lego sets?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were right around the time of the prequels starting, so...
Really?
Yeah.
But I think that I was fortunate enough to watch the original movies before I saw the prequels. I'm pretty sure that, like, even as a kid, I knew the Star Wars movie. Because I had a bunch of toys from the originals. Like, I had this Yoda action figure and Snowspeeders and stuff, so... I think I was the cutoff, though, for the generation that saw the old Star Wars movies first.
Yeah, like, I remember seeing them first only because my mom was so hugely into Star Wars, so she was, like, got me into
my
watching them all.
My parents weren't that into Star Wars, but, like, you should probably watch those. All right, cool. And I ended up loving it, so. Oh, man, now I really want this Lego DeLorean.
Go for it. $35.
I see. I'm looking at it.
Do it.
I'm going to leave it in my Amazon cart and then make a decision at some point, so yeah. It's not...
And then you'll have the wrong credit card number again. Yeah. And it'll just haunt you for, like, a month.
I thought that intentionally leaving the wrong credit card in there just to stop me from impulse buying a bunch of things I don't need. So, anybody else? Favorite Lego sets?
I just I didn't... Okay, what is this Bionicle stuff? Like, what was it exactly?
Have you ever heard of Bionicle?
I've heard of it. I've heard of it. I didn't pay attention to it.
It's basically... It's kind of like... Avatar meets Power Rangers, kind of, where it's, like, the different, like, they're, these people who can, like, control the elements, and they're, like, the protectors of each different, because each, part of, like, this island is an element, so it's, like, there's a city of, tree people, there's this ice city, a city underground in the earth, a fire city, a water city, and all that. So there are these six, people called the Toa who, like, wore these masks that gave them these powers, like, one could, shield himself and others. One could be super fast. One was super strong.
Yeah, it was like this continuous story, too. So they were like superheroes. Right. Not superheroes, but they were... The Toa, at least, had the powers. And like the Matorans were the
villagers.
The villagers. So they had no real intrinsic power, but they still had the masks and whatnot to go with the aesthetic. Right. And like the Toa protected them, and the Toa like... were the deities that came in, like, times of bad, and, like, times of bad were basically like, the entire storyline.
Right, and, like, the Toa upgraded themselves to, like, be the Toa Nuva, and then they defeated Lakuta the first time, and then it's a prequel about how, the Turaga defeated the Lakuta the first time, the actual first time.
We're saying words that you just don't know.
And then there was this other prequel
Nerd alert, nerd alert, nerd alert. All right, go.
Star Wars
at
what?
I had to activate the nerd siren. Continue.
Whatever, man. Fuck you.
I love sitting on my high horse for the things
right.
I'm thinking about.
And,
it's so much fun.
I think there were, I want to say there were like 3 movies.
I think so.
No, wait, there were 4, because they had like that prequel one, which I never saw.
Sorry, I can name like every location and item in RuneScape and how to do every single thing there. Just for clarification.
I'm gonna beat you
don't have to
up
give
now.
Us your sympathy, Sam.
You can't take back what was already said. Damage has already been
how
done.
People, Earl, do you get hate mail about me?
I wouldn't tell you if I did.
Oh, please tell me.
I can send some if you're in need for it.
We're podcasting nerdsontherocks.com.
Sam, stop. Pass it on.
Can we get back to Eggos?
Right.
Yes. I like talking about me, though.
I'm also partial to like the Lego Marvel set, or specifically the Lego Marvel game.
Yeah.
Which is actually better than I thought it would be. Like, I knew it would be good, I just didn't think it'd be that good. I feel like it walks a good line of, like, being its own thing and also being feeling like a Marvel game. Like, it kind of feels a little bit like X-Men, or not X-Men, but Marvel Ultimate Alliance, but just in Lego form. It's a lot funnier and more polished, because I'm going through Ultimate Alliance 1 right now, and it feels a little rough. It's a lot rougher than I initially remember it.
Yeah, like, I think they've got a good medium struck with, like, they're sort of tackling all of the heroes rather than just a specific hero, and then in doing that, being open world, basically.
Right. And I like that they're not just, like, sticking with the movie Avengers. They've got the decency to like be like, okay, here's the X-Men, here's Fantastic Four, here's the Guardians of the Galaxy, here's basically anyone who's going to be significant in the Marvel Universe like the next 5 years.
Yeah, I thought that was awesome. Honestly, like the robust character selection was insane.
I like the achievement where Hulk, like Lego Hulk, can movie Hulk Lego Loki. And they also got Coulson in the game.
Oh, did they really? I've only played
yeah.
my friend's copy, so I don't haven't
yeah,
seen it.
Yeah, he's kind of like your little guide. That's whoever you hear talking.
Got it. And so, Earl, I guess, I don't know if you have any sort of favorite.
I was going to say, I've never owned an Eggo set. I've only bought like the bulk box bins of the blocks and played with those.
Got it. So you're just a fan of, you know, the blocks. We still actually have a lot of block purists who come into the store and like, you used to sell them in just bricks. Do you still do that? We do. So we got stuff for you, Earl.
We got your stuff.
We got good stuff. Kids, go for it.
And then I guess for me, just to kind of close up this particular topic, my favorite stuff is, I like Star Wars, but I think Marvel I have the most fun with nowadays. There's this line called the Modular Series, which is they're basically big. They're like $150 sets, and they're big city blocks. So you buy like one of them's a cinema, one of them's like a grocery store, one of them's like a hotel, and you can kind of you build them as their own sort of thing, and then they combine together. And when you have like 2 or 3 of them, they make a city block with like a sidewalk and everything. Those are really cool. They're big collector's items, and a lot of them have some really cool detail. One of my favorite sets is actually the cinema, because I can just throw whatever I want in there. I can throw Lord of the Rings sets in there, and it makes sense. I can throw Star Wars sets and stuff. It's just cool. So those are my 2 favorites, I think. But I guess we sort of stumbled around like sort of like Legos for different ages, and like we've talked about, for us, different ages. Like, I don't know, we're all roughly the same age, ish. We're all, like, in our 20s, so, like, we still experience Legos now, but, like, do you guys, I don't know, I find it that they're definitely relevant in my life. Do you find that they're still relevant in, like, aside from the pop culture references in, like, the Lego movie? And
I was going to say, other than the Lego movie, no, I haven't thought about Legos actively in years.
I've thought a little bit about them. I haven't bought one. But I still think about them from now and then with, like, a sort of a faint hint of nostalgia more than anything else.
Yeah, and the games are apparently getting a little worse and worse, like, at least critically. How about?
Well, I've always felt that Traveler's Tale.
Everybody mixes those up, and I want to just—it makes me so angry.
Throttle them.
I was about to say they have the perfect system because of the licenses. You can pretty much turn out the same game, but you put a new coat of paint on it because, it's Marvel this time.
That's why they're getting old.
I used to play them all the time,
but now the games are too samey for me to actually want to play them on my own.
But, I mean, I guess, again, it's really nice that they can do that with the licenses because, Lego Harry Potter phase different from Lego Marvel, which phase different from Lego the Hobbit.
It's still about collecting bricks.
Yeah, but I mean, you get the environments, the settings, the different types of stuff. But yes, it is very similar. It's one of the reasons why my personal favorite Lego game is Lego City Undercover, is because they were able to kind of expand on that idea because they weren't confronted with the license. So,
About that game. I think a lot of people forgot about that game, to be fair.
Because it's on the Wii U.
Yeah.
Well, no, that's not. Okay, I mean, that is.
And it was received kind of bad, right?
Yeah. I think a lot of people enjoyed it. They just kind of. Part of it was because it was on the Wii U, and part of it was because it had the long load times. But other than that, I think
it was also overshadowed by the upcoming Lego Marvel.
It's got an 80.
That's not bad at all. That was months apart.
I feel like Lego Marvel had, a lot more momentum.
Lego Marvel came out in October of 2013, City came out in
March.
So, Lego City Undercover is currently the ninth highest rated game on Wii U, according to Metacritic.
Ninth highest? Out of what, nine games?
It says more, yeah, right, pretty much.
I own a
behind
Wii U,
Lego
really
Marvel fun. Super Heroes. And others.
Yeah, it's a solid game, but I think part of it again was just being on Wii U, and part of it was probably overshadowed because last March was a pretty big March for video games.
Did anybody decode that?
Earl, you were starting to break up there.
I put my pen and paper and start doing Morse code.
I think we got the gist of it, sort of. Repeat it, I guess.
I'm good. We'll cut around it.
Repeat every other syllable, and then we can go back and post and smash them together.
Ed. Yeah, so what else do we have to talk about?
I don't know. I think the big thing for me was coming out of the movie, by the way, was fantastic. I guess we should probably touch upon how the movie was, not spoil it, but just touch upon it. Coming out of the movie, one of my most profound feelings was I actually got a little bit, more than a little bit, I got pretty touched by the undertone that was in it without spoiling it because it's a pretty serious component of the story. There's a lot, it gets kind of real and in the sense of what Lego is for you, which is I guess why I brought
up. Surprisingly real.
Yeah.
Right. Like out of nowhere and then you're like, that's dumb. And then you're like, oh my God, that's awesome.
Yeah. It's like, this totally makes sense now.
Yeah, so, it gets really, not in-your-face real, but definitely, to the point where you're like, okay, I get it. It was a funny kids movie. It still is a funny kids movie, but, it's got that sort of impact now.
Right.
Yeah.
And I like that scene at the end where Chris Pratt is making his his little speech, and they stop to show the different characters and what they're doing with their own inventions. That was a really good moment because I feel like it encapsulates what people love about Legos.
Yeah, and I guess
and
that's sort of what I want.
Like what we all did as children.
Right. That's pretty much exactly what I wanted to kind of harness in this discussion was Legos for kids are obviously about imagination, or that's what you at least imagine them to be about. Lots of kids just kind of make mishmashes, and that's just how they have fun, which is awesome.
That's their thing.
So I would say that coming out of the Lego movie, my only feeling was a smile until I fell asleep that night and pretty much the whole next day. That is how wonderful that movie that movie was everything I wanted in a movie compressed into the runtime that it was. I left it thinking, they made this for me. They just took all of my interest and my attention span and what I like in movies and just crammed it all together, and it was beautiful and adorable.
And it's one of those kids' movies that does not feel as long as it actually is. It actually moves along at a pretty quick pace. I didn't realize that it was over an hour and a half long. It felt more like it was an hour to me.
Yeah, it's true. Events seem to happen pretty quickly, at least.
Right.
Yeah.
Although, I'm sad that they did not go to... This is, like, a bit of a small spoiler, but I'm sad that they did not go to other realms within the universe that they had set up.
Yeah, I can feel the same.
And specifically, I wish that they had gone to a realm that they had kind of hinted at in, like, one of their pictures. Where it's just like, oh, yeah, that's one of those old things that no one cares about, specifically Bionicle.
I actually kind of appreciated that. I think, because I mentioned this yesterday when I was talking about Wreck-It Ralph, is that I felt like this wasn't, like, it had fan service, but I felt like the fan service wasn't dominant in the movie. Like, I mean, we can kind of mention this, I guess, with, like, Batman's a major component of that. Instead of, like, a throwaway character who kind of comes on the screen, they kind of built him into the story in an organic way, and I think they do a great job of that without it being like, oh, I remember that Ego said, or, yeah, that Ego said, or stuff like that. And I think, you know, it does give them room to kind of build on in the future, but I like that this was kind of contained to its own unique universe and characters.
Batman was probably my favorite part in that movie. Him and Benny.
I like how Batman was my favorite part, but Batman is a character.
Whatever. Well, he has so many good lines and moments that it's hard not to laugh at Will Arnett as Batman, because he gets it down so well.
Yeah,
he's
a very
different, like, on-screen Batman.
Like that one part where Wildstyle tells him to help, and then like he's just like, and his entire head is spinning. It's just funny.
I guess my favorite part, or my favorite location that they explored, was the Cloud Cuckoo Land, because that was just, it was a place full of, like, colors, and, like, it was basically the raw imagination. Like, there was, sure, it was about imagination and, like, what you can build with stuff, but that was, like, unharnessed imagination right there, and colorfulness, and just, like, nothing but fun. And I wish they had touched upon that area a little bit more, or at least, like, lingered in that area more, because they kind of just glanced over and glazed over everything that was in it, and I was like, oh my god, I want so much more of this. This place is like pure happiness. I just love it.
And then the fact that it was a technically good movie, too, was amazing. I don't know if y'all touched on this while I walked out of the room for 2 seconds, but it was one of the most... Seeing all the things they had to animate in Lego form as a guy who took animation classes for a year just made me feel sorry for whoever was responsible for that. But it looks really, really, really good.
Yeah, it is it's a beautiful movie, and it's really vibrant, too. Like,
I was
surprised
at how they made it for $60 million.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, they had a lot of marketing. A lot of marketing behind it.
Yeah, but $60 million is really cheap.
Outsourced animation.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I was going to say, because they animated it in Indonesia.
I didn't want to get into that, but yes, yeah, so I was going to say, cause, I mean, I guess Disney pays top-of-the-line artists, because I think something like Frozen costs like $200 to $250 million to make.
Yeah, and that wasn't Disney that made the Lego movie. You'd be hard-pressed to know it, but...
Yeah, it was a surprise, because it made it back its budget opening weekend.
Yeah, it was, what company made it? It's the same people that made Happy Feet.
Warner Brothers.
The Warner Animation.
They could put the guy from Arrow in their next Lego movie then.
Oh, that's really good.
But I was actually surprised by some of the cameos, because they do have a huge stable of characters to work with. But again, we're not going to spoil anything, so.
Yeah. I was surprised. Oh, yeah, it's hard. To say,
I was surprised by how much I laughed at Jonah Hill and Channing Tatum.
Oh yeah, I didn't know Channing Tatum till the end.
Yeah, that's not a spoiler, but it was really funny.
You might not even know who they are when they appear.
Yeah,
on.
You'll know Jonah Hill.
It took me a while to nail Channing Tatum.
Yeah,
because he doesn't really sound like it at all.
Sound like him?
Yeah,
at all.
Jonah Hill was pretty easy.
He was also the last listed on IMDb. I'm like, wow, that's interesting that you're the least credited person in this movie.
I also did not recognize Nick Offerman until the credits.
Honestly, I was more impressed. Like, we're just going over now the voice acting roles. Like, there were a ton of really high profile actors and actresses in that movie.
Seriously,
for $60 million, I guess a lot of them just wanted to do it for fun.
Totally.
I don't know how much you pay for all that with $60 million.
Well, I mean,
it was fantastic.
Real quick, was anybody able to tell that he was the good cop?
Yes.
I did not. I didn't know that was him until afterward. And I'm like, oh man, that's hilarious.
I think you could sort of tell by like a hint of that accent and like the sort of, he played it super well for sure.
Yeah.
But like you could sort of tell there were undertones in how he was saying things and stuff.
And we're getting into spoilery stuff, because I think that the cameos are the fun part, or partially, anyways, the fun part of the movie.
Well, definitely some of them are the I'm thinking of one in particular.
Yeah.
Who I'm thinking of?
I guess it's a series of, like, four cameos is what I'm thinking of, at least.
Yeah. Mine is a female.
Oh, mine was the one that's really surprising to me that they got the rights for it, considering everything that's gone on recently. You show up for a few seconds, you're like, oh, I thought that they were just going to pretend that these people didn't exist in this universe.
Yeah, okay, so the one I'm thinking of is also surprising because of the...
Yeah, nice and vague.
Yeah.
People are going to hate us.
Yeah, they
hate you. I think we're not going to spoil anything, but we're going to talk about it anyhow and talk about it as generally as possible.
I guess what I wanted to just briefly say was I was surprised by, for some of the cameos, to what degree they went to, because for some of them they went out like full on, not scenes from the films they were of, but almost, if you know what
we
I mean.
Should probably just bleep this whole section.
Yeah.
Just one giant beep.
All right, hold up. Let's just get into spoiler territory right now.
Star Wars!
In five. Stop it. In five. Four.
No.
What?
No. I would just say this real quick. I was surprised at how many of the cameos they gave away in the trailer that kind of didn't extend past what they showed.
You're every other syllable again.
Yeah.
I was surprised by the cameos of something.
I was surprised by the cameos of Anthony Daniels and Billy Dee Williams. Were the actual voice actors that blew
them
up.
Those were actually them?
Yeah.
Just those two, though.
I was like, that sounds real... And even their Han Solo impersonation sounded almost spot on.
Again, I think we were avoiding spoilers here.
No, we did a spoiler countdown. We're spoiling now.
I don't think that was agreed upon. But okay, I guess for this one time.
Well, guess what? Now you have editing work to do. Sorry.
Real quick, Charlie Day was fantastic.
Oh my gosh, yes. The whole movie was fantastic.
You mean awesome.
Charlie Day has... got some great voice work. Okay, so non-spoilery stuff.
Yeah, is there anything else we didn't touch upon in the movie that you wanted to talk about, I guess, as we're nearing the end of this?
I kind of wish that they did not set up the sequel so obviously, if only because if that movie had failed, I would have been disappointed that they...
Wait, what was an obvious sequel?
They had a sequel set up at the end.
Was there a post-credits scene?
No,
I think he's talking about the final scene. The final.
Okay,
scene.
I just took that as a joke. I didn't take
that's an actual. No, I think that's the actual sequel hook.
Well, I took it as a joke, but if they want to go in that direction, they can.
Yeah.
Not necessarily like, this is what we're going to do.
Yeah, I was going to say, it didn't seem... All right.
Honestly, I think it would be a little bit of a weak plot point as for an entire movie.
Right. If it was like a halfway point, maybe?
Yeah, maybe if it was like an undertone. Like, just the... More like the undertone, the underlying theme they had for this movie, if they had done that as a sequel, would be a little bit weak.
Yeah.
In fact, like a lot of bit weak, because I don't think there's enough to explore with that emotionally.
Right. And I'm trying to think of, like...
I feel like it's funny how we're talking about the emotional hook of a Lego movie. Like how they managed. Anyway, sorry.
I'm trying to think of what they can do for a sequel besides that.
Oh, they could figure something out. They're not going to need to create a sequel for a few more years, at least.
Yeah. Yeah, who knows if they even will, honestly, or maybe they...
But they are making
a
sequel.
They will. They've got a writer hired for it.
Yeah, they announced a sequel before this film came out.
Yeah.
Well, then. out of my jurisdiction.
Well...
You don't have to earn that working at the Lego store.
Yeah, there's some liberties. There's some perks that I have. There's a lot of stuff that I have not been able to talk about at this podcast, but there's some that I just don't know about.
Okay. As a final note, not really to the Lego movie, what is something that you hope, or I guess that you want to be Legofied in the future?
I don't know anything that I like that isn't already a Lego set. Like, they even theoretically have Minecraft.
Not even as a Lego set, just, like, it becomes Lego in the future, either, like, officially or even unofficially.
Well, I think the E...
Porn.
Okay.
I have no real answer.
Keep that in.
Say, The obvious ones would have been Mario and Zelda. I think those would make fantastic sets. The Mushroom Kingdom's Bright and Vibrant. I'm surprised. Are there any Nintendo Echo sets?
No, Nintendo's given their rights for Pokemon to Nanobrick, or what's it called? I believe it's Nanobrick it's called.
Oh, okay.
And then they also have Kinects for...
I wasn't thinking video games. To be fair, like, Mass Effect Legos would be cool.
Mass Effect Legos would be amazing.
But I was trying to think of other things outside of video games that need Lego sets.
Well, I mean, they've done most of the...
It's kind of hard to say otherwise.
I mean, they've done, like, what, the Matrix Lego set?
The Mega Bloks.
Do they have a Speed Racer set?
They have Prince of Persia ones based on the movie.
I know that, like, Halo has Mega Bloks and stuff.
Right, Halo and Skylanders and World of Warcraft.
Yeah, so Mega Bloks does video games.
They do, like, they do Activision, I guess, more or less.
That's fair. I didn't realize that, but good point.
I think, honestly, and, like, this is a big thing for me as a gamer and a Lego fan, I think the biggest reason why they haven't is because it sort of bridges that sort of... international gap, I guess, where they're a Denmark company, but they're really big in the U.S. and everywhere in the world, for sure. But just communicating with, like, mainly Japanese companies to get, like, the rights to Mario and Zelda, I think, would be a little bit difficult. And I think at least that's part of why they haven't done it.
I mean, it could help improve Nintendo sales, probably,
For sure, and Legos, too. They would both benefit. But I just think there's a little bit of a... they probably just don't even want to do it. Who knows?
Well, I mean, they did announce recently that they're more open to licensing out their IPs, so maybe that will be something that will be talked about in the coming months.
Yeah. And, like, right. Not even as a joke, I do think that it would be interesting to see, like, a Lego Zelda or Lego Metroid set.
I don't know if you guys are familiar with the site called Cusoo, spelled Cuusoo, but it's, like, official, unofficial sort of thing. It's like a subsidiary of Lego. Basically, it's you submit your own Lego ideas, and if they... And, like, you submit them Kickstarter style, so if they get 10,000 likes or, like, backs, basically, then the set will officially go before Lego, and they will then have to consider it for a set.
Really?
Yeah, so you guys should check it out, actually. It's really cool. There's a lot of video game stuff because of that, because people come up with, like, their own concepts for special pieces for Zelda sets or, like, what a Mario set would look like as far as, like, box and whatnot. One of them that recently was announced a few weeks ago was Ghostbusters, and then with that they announced the other top, I think, five that were in the running with it, and one of them was actually FTL, so they got really close.
So, question, would a game like Mass Effect even be allowed to be turned into Legos, like, or does that fall into too many adult themes and violence to, I mean...
I think you could kind of get away with it.
You probably could... But
I mean, because really the only mature thing about Mass Effect is basically, like, the sex and language, and I think otherwise that could translate...
I thought Lego was always, like, kid properties.
Yeah, well, not always, because I guess you could say that Marvel and DC aren't really kid properties.
Absolutely, the Avengers is a movie made for kids.
Well, I mean, overall, Marvel and DC aren't exactly kid properties.
That's fair.
Well, the characters are.
And you can also make a case for the later Harry Potter films and maybe, like, most of the Lord of the Rings stuff.
All the things you said, I started watching when I was a kid.
The only one I think that would dips into that territory is Lord of the Rings.
Even Lord of the Rings I started watching when I was in sixth grade. So.
Yeah, I don't remember anything that would be too un-kid-friendly in the Lord of the Rings too much. And, like, I feel like with comic books, like, the comic books themselves aren't for kids, but I think the characters, the archetypes of the characters appeil to everybody.
Yeah.
It's just like comics to the baby.
Pajamas, I mean, it's... Yeah. Little kids like Batman.
It's one of the reasons why they went away from the Batman Returns tone and kind of did Batman and Robin and Batman Forever. Yeah.
My point is, like, Mass Effect doesn't exactly fall into that same category. Like, you're not going to see a Call of Duty Lego set anytime soon.
I think Mass Effect might be an interesting example to bring up also just because it has undertones of sex, which you don't see typically in video games. So if you were to say something, for example, like Last of Us, which is mostly emotional-based and, like, violence-based.
Did you see that that video of Lego Last of Us? Lego Last of Us a few months back?
Yeah, I saw it.
Sorry, go on. I just really liked it.
Yeah, it was really cool. There's a lot of, like, cool stuff that people do with that. But I think, if anything game-related that's, I guess, a little bit higher rated, I think Portal would be perfect because it's kid-friendly without being
overly dark.
Yeah, like it's still got the sort of adult tone to it, but it's not to a point where kids will like see it and be afraid of it or something.
The humor's more dark than the actual subject.
Yeah, I think that's more it.
I know this might be redundant, but Minecraft. I mean, granted, that
is.
there go Minecraft. Where the hell is Sam coming from?
I'm getting some water in the other room. I have an auxiliary extender for my headphones, so I can still wear my headphones while I'm in the next room.
Stop yelling!
So yeah, like Sam was saying, there's actually three Minecraft sets right now. For the longest time, there was only the one based on just like the grasslands area, and there was a little mine underneath it with a creeper and Steve. But now there's one based on the Nether, which comes with zombie pigmen and ghasts. And then there's one based on a village and an underground mine shaft that comes with like tundra pieces and what's it called? Tundra pieces, a villager, pig, and a zombie.
Doesn't it feel a bit redundant to have a Lego Minecraft?
Yeah, that's what everybody said whenever they first announced it. You can't even buy them. They've been sold out like since they started, right?
I just want to alert everybody. If you go to the Burlington, Massachusetts Lego store, we have plenty of both in stock. Please direct your attention there.
Do you work on commission?
Well.
Don't.
Wait, if you show this to them, will they like give you a raise?
No, definitely
not. I'll
say
good, because I'm definitely not going to be like your...
I would never relate this to work to that extent. Like, I'm talking about my experiences at work, but I would never monetize it or whatever.
I gotta go prepare for Valentine's stuff, so.
So Sam's taking an early bow out.
I'll make you a Lego Valentine.
Is it early bow out? I assume we're wrapping up soon. Okay, fine. I just mean we should end soon.
Okay, we should probably wrap it up then, I assume.
Well, just before Sam goes, I did want to say that he is hosting next week's episode.
Yeah, I am. About stuff you hate. My favorite topic.
Not to say, of course, Sam would make a hate cast.
To be fair, the way I wanted to set it up was I want everybody to list something that they didn't like that most people other liked, and I would hope that there's someone on the podcast that does like it, and you two pretty much hash it out and figure out what's wrong.
Oh, yeah, totally. Let's do this.
Starting now. Ready, set, go.
For
next week's in advance. Les Miserables sucked. All right.
I thought it was good.
Exactly, and that's what we'll pick up next week.
Starting to feel
teaser. I'm not gonna bait you on it.
Yes, you will.
Oh, I'm not.
We'll save it for next week. God damn it, I'm leaving a teaser.
Can we both agree that Russell Crowe's singing sucked? Or...
Okay. We can talk about this next week.
While we're wrapping this up, is there any final thoughts people want to end on, I guess?
You should definitely go see the Lego movie.
Yeah,
she should see the Lego movie.
I feel like if you're a kid, it's definitely going to be that film that makes you be like, I want to work in Legos.
That listen to the show.
Shut up.
If you're a kid, you've probably already seen it also, so, you know, just that.
Yes. Apologies to all parents because they're probably hearing Everything is Awesome every day for like the past week.
Everything is awesome.
To be fair, even though I'm still singing that song.
Yeah, I've got it to wake me up in the morning.
Yeah, it's weird because you would think that a song that was created to be an airworm would not have that effect, but it's so damn catchy.
And it's funny because the movie makes fun of how catchy it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Darkness.
Yeah, so I guess to wrap it up, I could talk for hours and hours about Legos if we continued, but obviously everyone else has their own breaking point, and we've been here for about an hour anyway. So we'll just wrap it up. So thanks everybody for indulging in one of my favorite things and having me talk about it for an hour with some of my friends here. I don't really know.
Justin.
Yeah. Not yet.
he might be disappointed when he hears what I do with my Bionicles.
Uh oh.
I don't want to know what
you do with your Bionicles. I may have kind of sort of stole most of them in a garage sale.
That's okay. A lot of mine are lost because they were within moves and whatnot. They're in my house somewhere, but I just don't know where they are exactly. Thanks again, I guess, for indulging in my pastime and what I hope is a lot of people's pastimes to varying degrees. I don't think and expect everyone to be as into them as I am. But, you know, it's something that's important to me, And you know, I've met like my best friend now through the Lego store, and that's awesome.
Now you just gotta meet a girlfriend through the Lego store.
And you can build a girlfriend from the Lego
store. Sure. So yeah, it's just it was important to me, and I thought it was cool that you guys, you know, talked about your experiences too, because it was cool hearing your end of things. So I guess this is, I don't know what else, should I mention any more of Sam's podcast since we did a teaser, really?
Nope.
No.
So next,
doesn't know any more about Sam's podcast, so.
So yeah, next week is Sam's hosting. This is the end of my personally hosted podcast.
It's going to be loud and angry and then slowly run out of energy as time goes on and end in a dull mumble.
And on that note, this has been Nerds on the Rock 161. Thanks for watching.
Bye.
Bye. You're my favorite.
Which one?
Exactly. Everything is awesome. Everything is cool when you're part of a team. Everything is awesome when we live in our dream. Everything is better when we stick together. Side by side, you and I.
Dip my body in chocolate frosting. 3 years later, I shot the frosting. Smelling like a blossom, everything is awesome. Stepped in mud, got new brown shoes. Awesome to win, and it's awesome to lose. Awesome to lose. Awesome to lose. Awesome to lose.
Everything is better when we stick together. Side by side, you and I. Everything is awesome. Everything is awesome.